kps.com/advantage.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the mid-80s tomorrow. It's 81 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It's 6:06.
From NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting journalist and author Sasha Eisenberg discussing his book, The Lie Detectives, in search of a playbook for winning elections in the disinformation age. Wednesday, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Stay tuned. Another 41-ish minutes of All Things Considered still to come. In that time, we'll get you a fresh update of news headlines. We will find out why healthcare was so desperately affected in Greenfield, Iowa this past May and the repercussions thereof. We will learn about the people who live aboard boats outside of Miami Beach. They're having a serious problem. Also, the fall movie preview from Bob Mondello. All of this yet to come on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Liberty Hall, offering first-run indie films, repertory screenings, concerts, karaoke, trivia, and more. Current listings and event schedule at libertyhall.net or the box office at the corner of 6th and Mass in downtown Lawrence.
Following All Things Considered tonight on your KPR1 stations, we have evening classical music. We'll get a little evening magic from Bruckner, some Tchaikovsky, the incredible piano trio, and we'll take a trip to Niagara Falls. That is all coming right up on your KPR1 stations at 7 o'clock following the NPR News and Stardate. If you are joining us on KPR2, stay tuned for Reveal, followed by news from the BBC World Service. It's 6:20.
Music. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from KTWU, Channel 11, local public television, where arts, entertainment, educational, and informational programming is offered daily. Details on the web at ktwu.org. KTWU, Channel 11, local public television.
News headlines are up next. Lows in the upper 50s tonight. Right now it's 81 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Topeka, 83 in Emporia. It is 6:30.
It's lower on Wall Street today. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The state of Kansas collected slightly more tax revenue in August than had been predicted. Daniel Caudill explains.
State budget officials say Kansas brought in more than $660 million in tax revenue last month. That's nearly $23 million, or 3.5%, higher than estimated. That mostly stems from a bump in revenue from individual income and sales taxes. Revenue in those areas was also higher when compared to this time last year. Corporate income tax collections, on the other hand, came in below estimate. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly says the state's monthly revenue reports will reflect the impact of tax cuts starting next year. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill at the State House.
New research out of the University of Kansas finds the mortality reductions that have been tied to Medicaid expansion in other states don't always extend to rural communities. That study from the University of Kansas Medical Center found that expansion reduced mortality in urban black populations, but not in rural black populations. And some rural white populations saw mortality increase. Author Tom Miller says that might be tied to opioid overprescription during the years many states expanded Medicaid and the fact that not all doctors accept Medicaid.
This doesn't mean that expansion is foolhardy or not worth doing. It does open up healthcare to a lot of people. But if you are in one of those places where there is no clinic that accepts Medicaid, you might have a very hard time finding care just because you're going to have to travel so much further than, say, someone in Kansas City.
He says if Kansas does expand Medicaid, the findings could help policymakers improve outcomes for rural areas. The Wichita City Council moved forward today in its effort to convert the former Park Elementary building into its multi-agency homeless center. The center will house the city's emergency winter shelter and provide other resources for people in need. The council approved acquiring the building for $1. That proposal will now go to Wichita's Board of Education for approval. About $2 million worth of renovations will be made in order to open the winter shelter by Thanksgiving. Renovations for housing and other services will be done at a later date. Clear skies tonight for northeast and east central Kansas with a low in the upper 50s. Clear skies tomorrow with highs in the mid 80s. You're listening to KPR. It's 6:35.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Morning Edition from NPR News brings you reporting from around the world.
NPR's Carrie Khan is covering all this from the Venezuelan city of Caracas.
And we also realize there's plenty to learn at home, literally.
Here's my compost bin in the freezer. We've got some tomato bits, and now we're adding 2 tea bags.
Listen for the latest headlines plus useful life hacks every weekday on Morning Edition.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow beginning at 5 a.m., 5 to 9. Get caught up on all the news from around the nation, around the world, and around the region.
Support for KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo on September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music, games, food trucks, and animal encounters, all supporting the zoo's conservation initiatives. Tickets at topekazoo.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies too. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Classical music coming up following the 7 o'clock news from NPR and Stardate. Destiny is your host. We visit Niagara Falls tonight. I always think of Rosalind Russell in His Girl Friday. Niagara Falls. Yeah, she romanticized it. Anyway, we will visit there in an audio sort of way this evening with Destiny coming up in just about 14 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Amazon Music. Prime members have access to a catalog of news podcasts ad-free. Breaking news without the breaks. Available by downloading the Amazon Music app or visiting amazon.com/ad-free. From C3 AI. C3 Generative AI works to enable rapid access to traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, helping turn the invisible into the obvious. This is Enterprise AI. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for dedicated and forward-thinking individuals to join their growing team. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.
A tornado destroyed a folk studio in Nashville 4 years ago. Since then, singer-songwriters Gillian Welch and David Rawlings have been rebuilding and making new music. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Sisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at eaglesrestnaturalhome.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have news headlines from NPR. Then we check in with Stardate, followed by 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. We visit Niagara Falls this evening in an aural way. Also hear some Tchaikovsky. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting new dance partners with KC Ballet, Owen Cox Dance Group, Storling Dance Theater, and Regina Klenyowski Dance Company. September 20th and 21st. More jccc.edu/mtc.
Quick reminder, our Power Breakfast kicks off our fall membership drive Friday morning. Your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar from 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Friday morning on KPR. Double the value of your KPR pledge and join us Friday morning. It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A federal judge is denying former President Donald Trump's latest attempt to move his criminal sentencing in New York to federal court. NPR's Amanda Bastille reports the decision comes just days after Trump requested federal intervention.
A federal judge rejected Trump's lawyer's request to move his state criminal case in New York to federal court, citing a lack of proof required for federal court to take over this case. In May, a jury found him guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records. Trump's lawyers cited concerns that the trial and New York State Judge Juan Merchan, who presided over the case, was biased against him. His legal team also argues that various testimony and evidence violates a recent Supreme Court ruling that decided presidents have immunity for official acts they take in office. The Supreme Court ruling came after Trump was convicted in this case, but the Republican nominee still wants to use it to push back his sentencing, which could still come weeks before Election Day. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
A former deputy chief of staff to New York Governor Kathy Hochul has been arrested and charged in what prosecutors say was a decade-long scheme by aide Linda Sun to use her state government position to help the Chinese government. In a 64-page indictment, Sun's accused of forging Hochul's signature, allowing a Chinese official to eavesdrop on a conference with New York officials and helping Chinese dignitaries travel to the U.S. In exchange, prosecutors claim Sun received millions in kickbacks, including travel and even salted Nanjing-style ducks. Her husband is charged with money laundering, conspiracy, and other crimes. Prosecutors say the couple used the money to buy homes in New York and Hawaii, as well as luxury cars, including a 2024 Ferrari. The California legislature has approved a bill that would require new cars to have technology designed to limit speeding. NPR's Joel Rose reports.
The bill would require new cars sold in California to warn drivers if they're going more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, starting with the 2030 model year. Safety advocates have long touted intelligent speed assistance technology as a way to make roads safer. The bill's sponsor, Democrat Scott Wiener of San Francisco, says California would be the first state to make it mandatory. But critics say the technology could annoy and potentially distract drivers, and that the sheer size of California's market would essentially force car makers to adopt it nationwide. Wiener originally pushed for technology that would actively block drivers from going too fast, but then revised the bill so that it only requires a warning. Joel Rose, NPR News.
After tumultuous summer, and with the election just 9 weeks away, the path to the presidency for both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is growing clearer. Democratic vice president and the Republican former president now face or focus increasing amounts of time and money on just 7 battleground states. Most are located in the South and the Midwest. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 626 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. For more than 75 years, AAU has supported freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more at AAU.org/NPR. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 3rd. If Planet 9 exists, it's taunting astronomers. Several studies of the orbits of small bodies far from the Sun hint at the presence of a massive planet in the outer solar system, yet the possible world has remained hidden. Planet 9 was suggested in 2014 based on the orbits of some big chunks of rock and ice beyond the orbit of Neptune, the Sun's most distant major planet. The orbits appear to be influenced by the gravity of a body many times as massive as Earth. The most recent evidence of Planet 9 comes from a study that modeled the orbits of 29 objects beyond Neptune. All of the orbits are tilted and stretched out. At their closest, these objects pass just inside the orbit of Neptune, which is 30 times farther from the Sun than Earth is. But they average more than 100 times the Earth's Sun distance, so it takes many centuries for them to orbit the Sun. Astronomers calculated the likelihood of so many objects following similar paths under two scenarios. In one, they modeled the gravitational effects of the Sun's known planets, plus the pull of the rest of the galaxy's stars and gas clouds. In the other, they added the effects of a possible Planet 9. The model with Planet 9 produced a far better match to the orbits. So far, a search of observations made along the planet's possible path has come up empty. So if Planet 9 exists, it's playing a game of hide-and-seek far from the Sun. You can find more astronomy news in Stardate magazine. Subscription information at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Tchaikovsky's The Hunt, September, from The Seasons, with Dmitri Paperno on piano. Hello there, here on KPR. I am your host, Destiny, welcoming in September. Oh, can you believe it? I can't believe it's September already. Where does the time go? If only I were taking some kind of vacation to maybe Niagara Falls. Oh, guess what? at around 7:30 we can together. Yes, we're going to hear from Niagara Falls. But it has been a while since I have played for us a lovely Bach orchestral suite, and I think it's a good way to start off September. Yesterday was the official start, but in case some of you were laboring or not on Labor Day and you missed it, well, you get a chance to restart the month with me right now. So let's do so together. This is Bach's Orchestral Suite number 3, and it's with the Oregon Bach Festival Orchestra right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Bach's Orchestral Suite Number 3, something perfect to listen to on Kansas Public Radio, starting off our September on a very masterful note, shall we say. Bach was a master, and this recording was with the Oregon Bach Festival Chamber Orchestra. I hope you liked it. I hinted at Niagara Falls coming up. Well, there's something that is the opposite of Niagara Falls. It's a tiny little stream. And we're going to hear from the stream, because the stream cannot be outdone at the end of the hour after this Niagara Falls suite, so you really, really can't miss it. But before I tell you about this Niagara Falls suite, guess what's coming up Friday night on the BBC Proms? The West Eastern Divan Orchestra, comprising young Arab and Israeli musicians, and its co-founder Daniel Barenboim, perform Brahms' Violin Concerto with soloist Anne-Sophie Mutter, alongside Schubert's Great Symphony. Again, it's Friday night on the BBC Proms concert, here only on KPR1 stations at 7 p.m. All right, we are taking a trip to Niagara Falls together right now with Ferdy Griffey's Niagara Falls Suite, and I would say buckle up. This opening is pretty powerful, and there's quite a bit of excitement in it, shall I say. You might need to turn your radio down for the opening. I'm not sure. It looks pretty exciting, though. All right. This is with William Stromberg and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, Ferdy Griffey's Niagara Falls Suite on KPR. We'll be right back. Okay, what did you think? Did your head rattle here on KPR? Ferdy Grofe's Niagara Falls Suite with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra and William Stromberg. Wow. That opening, I think the drum was supposed to represent what the falls must sound like. Yes, it's very, very powerful indeed. Whew, always keeping you on your toes here at KPR. Yes, I am. I have something a little more soothing coming up for you, shall we say, with the harp and a stream. Yes, indeed. But first, I'd like to thank a couple of our very nice supporters. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo, Saturday, September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music games, food trucks, and animal encounters. It's like Destiny's show. All supporting the zoo, zoo's conservation initiatives. Tickets at topekazoo.org. And the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m., Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information is at greenladylounge.com. All right. Something very soothing for us that is the opposite of Niagara Falls. It is the stream, the spring. And this is with Yolanda Condonassis on harp, right now on KPR.
Thank you.
hopefully you are very soothed now on KPR. That was Hasselmann's The Spring, The Stream with Yolanda Condonassis on harp. Very, very nice. You know what else is nice? KPR. And there's more music coming right up after NPR News. So keep on listening with me. I have got something magical for us, as well as a tarantella and, of course, Tchaikovsky. All of your favorites right here on Kansas Public Radio.
From the inner workings of the government to the creatives making waves in the arts, Morning Edition lets you hear directly from people making headlines.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is with us.
That's writer and director Ava DuVernay.
I spoke recently with Billie Eilish and her brother / producer / co-writer Phineas.
Listen weekdays for conversations and stories that go deeper than sound bites on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, installing solar since 1982 and now offering whole backup battery systems, such as Tesla Powerwalls for Kansas and Missouri. More information at cromwellsolar.com and the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The Justice Department is announcing terrorism charges against six Hamas leaders, including Yawad Sinwar, the architect of the group's deadly October 7th assault of Israel. Attorney General Merrick Garland noting the recent news that six hostages held by Hamas, including U.S. citizen, were killed.
This weekend, we learned that Hamas murdered six more hostages, including Hirsch Goldberg Polin, a 23-year-old Israeli-American. We are investigating Hirsch's murder and each and every one of the brutal murders of Americans as acts of terrorism.
The Hamas leaders face seven counts, including conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization, resulting in death, conspiracy to murder U.S. nationals, and conspiracy to bomb a place of public use, resulting in death. Garland says the Justice Department will continue to support efforts to bring those still being held hostage home. The latest polls show Vice President Harris gaining momentum, but she and former President Trump are running a close race heading into next week's debate. NPR's Domenico Montanaro was closely tracking the race, which is now down to 9 weeks.
That's all that's left until Election Day, but people start voting in just a matter of weeks. Vice President Kamala Harris has made up significant ground in the polls and is now narrowly ahead in many places. But those leads are all within the margin of error, and this election is expected to be very close. Former President Trump is ramping up attacks on Harris, trying to drag her down, so expect this race to get even uglier. That'll be a test for Harris, but both Harris and Trump face challenges in exactly 1 week when they square off in their first debate. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
More than 9,000 hotel workers on the East Coast, West Coast, and Hawaii remain on strike. NPR's Andrea Hsu says workers at Hilton Hyatt and Marriott hotels are calling for better wages and working conditions.
It's the third and final day of a coordinated strike called by the hospitality union Unite Here after labor contracts had expired in a dozen markets. Housekeepers, food and dining staff, front desk agents, and bellmen walked out over Labor Day weekend, calling attention to their demands, wages to help them keep up with inflation, and better staffing among them. In cities including Honolulu, San Francisco, and Boston, workers say staffing cuts during the pandemic have not been reversed, even as travelers have returned. The hotels have been making do, curtailing some services like room cleaning and dining options while workers are on strike. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
The interest rate setting Federal Reserve moved the closest it has yet to declaring. It's now 3-year war and inflation is nearly over. During a speech last month, Fed Chair Jerome Powell indicated the next direction for interest rates when the central bank holds its meeting this month will likely be down. Powell saying he's achieved the goal of reining in inflation without pushing the economy into recession. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 626 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web, at theschmid.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. Tarantella right now on KPR to open this second hour of Evening Classical. That was by Carl Anderson with Kylie Zappo on flute and Matthew Mazzoni on piano. Very fun. Harkens back to Tarantella Tuesday from one of our awesome listener suggestions. It does. Well, I have something that is just as awesome as the Tarantella for you at around 8:15. It's a piano trio. Ooh, by Tchaikovsky. See the alliteration? Tarantella, Tchaikovsky. Okay. That's not why I picked the trio. I picked the trio because it is amazing. I, your dear old host, Destiny, did promise you some magic in this hour, and I found some by Bruckner. It's about 6 minutes long, and it's called Evening Magic. It's with the Vine Philharmonic. I hope you like it right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Bruckner's Evening Magic here on KPR with the Vine Philharmonic. I hope you liked it. You can always find magic. In fact, from the University of Kansas, it's your place to find magic and NPR news and music, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. An amazing Tchaikovsky trio coming right up, but I've got to tell you about our power breakfast. It's this Friday, and I have to tell you that it's our fall kickoff. Wow. Fall membership drive. Crazy that it's fall. I can't believe I'm saying that. Anyhow, this Friday, your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar. Double the value of your pledge. If you give us 50, it becomes 100. 200 becomes 400. That would be fantastic, and we really rely on you to keep us on the airwaves. Save the date this Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. for KPR's Power Breakfast. All right, a piano trio that just speaks for itself and its magnificence. This is Tchaikovsky's piano trio. It's about 45 minutes long, and it's worth the listen. There's so much emotion in it. The recording is with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg on violin and Cécile Licat on piano, Antonio Meneses on cello. Let me know what you think of it. Tchaikovsky Piano Trio on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, I am speechless. Here on KPR, Tchaikovsky's Piano Trio with Salerno Sonnenberg on violin, Menasis on cello, and Likhod on piano. I am Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me this evening. NPR News is coming right up, and then Bob McWilliams, Jazz in the Night. That'll be a good listen. I'll be back tomorrow for Wacky Wednesday. We'll see what wacky things I come up with. Enjoy your evening on KPR.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. Just, I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Fadel from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Community Village Lawrence, a local volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting affordable in-home aging for adults, helping neighbors live independently as long as possible. Details at communityvillagelawrence.org. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. A federal judge is rejecting former President Donald Trump's request to intervene in his New York hush money criminal case. It's just the latest move by the courts to thwart Trump's efforts to overturn his felony conviction and delay his sentencing in the case. U.S. District Court judge ruled today Trump has not satisfied the burden of proof required for a federal court to take control of that case from the state court where it was tried. The ruling came hours after Manhattan prosecutors raised objections to Trump's efforts to delay post-trial decisions in the case while he appealed. The Biden administration says it will continue to work with partners in the Middle East to try to reach a ceasefire and hostage deal in Gaza. NPR's Michelle Kalman reports the matter became more urgent after Hamas killed six hostages, including an American.
At the State Department, spokesman Matthew Miller paid tribute to Hirsch Goldberg Polin, calling him an American hero. He and five other hostages were killed just days before Israel recovered their bodies over the weekend. And U.S. officials say this has added urgency to talks on a ceasefire and hostage deal.
Tragically, any deal to bring home the hostages will come too late for him. But there are dozens of hostages still remaining in Gaza, still waiting for a deal that will bring them home.
Miller says in the coming days, the U.S. will push for a final agreement, adding both sides have to show flexibility. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are laying out some aspects of their economic policies this week. At a campaign stop in New Hampshire tomorrow, Harris is expected to propose a tenfold increase in federal tax incentives for small business startups, from the current $5,000 to $50,000. Harris campaign officials saying that would help spur millions of new small business applications. And former President Trump is due to address the Economic Club of New York Thursday. He's expected to talk about his plan to cut taxes and roll back regulations, which he says harm businesses. The stock market had its worst day since early August amid an ongoing slowdown in manufacturing. As NPR's Maria Aspen reports, tech stocks added to investors' gloom.
U.S. factories are stuck in a slowdown. The latest report from the Institute for Supply Management shows demand for manufacturing remained depressed in August. That spooked investors returning from a long Labor Day weekend and anxiously watching every update on the U.S. economy. Wall Street is waiting for the Federal Reserve to finally cut interest rates later this month. Investors also continue to rethink their optimism about technology and especially artificial intelligence. Shares in chip companies, including the closely watched Nvidia, plunged again on this first day of the holiday-shortened trading week. Maria Aspen, NPR News, New York.
The Dow fell 626 points. This is NPR. Ukrainian officials say a pair of Russian ballistic missiles struck a military academy and nearby hospital in Ukraine, killing more than 50 people and wounding more than 200 others. The attack, the latest in a series of bombardments of Ukraine and one of the deadliest strikes there since the now 2.5-year-old war began. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says some people were trapped in the rubble, though many others were saved. Strikes occurred in the eastern Ukrainian city of Poltava. Service and maintenance workers at Cornell University are back on the job after ending their strike Monday night. From member station WSKG's Aurora Berry reports, UAW union members voted to ratify a new contract with the university.
Workers went on strike over 2 weeks ago as Cornell students started returning to campus. On Monday, they ratified a contract ending that strike. The union chapter's president, Christine Johnson, says the new agreement shows just how powerful unions can be.
They have the money, we have the workforce, so it levels the playing field.
The contract secured higher wages and cost of living adjustments for workers. The UAW union represents more than 1,000 workers at Cornell who staff dining halls, clean buildings, and maintain campus grounds. For NPR News, I'm Aurora Berry in Ithaca.
A panel of Brazil's Supreme Court has unanimously upheld the decision of one of its justices to block billionaire Elon Musk's social media platform X nationwide. The broader support indicating efforts by Musk and his supporters to cast the lone justice as a renegade and censor free speech has failed. Five-member judge panel ordered the platform blocked for having failed to name a local representative as required by law. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their client's best interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This is NPR.
Big Band in the title track to their new album, Swingin' Uptown. They have become the premier big band playing swing music in New York City in recent years, and a fun album all the way around. That piece written by the band's leader, the alto saxophonist I.O. Vilner, Swingin' Uptown. With singer Alexa Cole with a big band back in the Taipei Jazz Orchestra, that is next. And after that, in just a few minutes, we'll have some music of Duke Ellington as played by pianist Fred Hirsch and by trumpeter Anthony Stanko. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. Here's Alexis Cole with the Taipei Jazz Orchestra with People Will Say We're in Love here on KPR.
Too much. Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Don't sigh and gaze at me. Your sighs are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine. People will say give me my rose and my glove. Sweetheart, they're suspecting things. People will say we're in love.
Alexis Cole. And people will say we're in love. That's off her new album called Jazz Republic. It's Alexis Cole and the Taipei Jazz Orchestra here on KPR. We're in about 15 minutes. We'll hear for the first time this week our new jazz album of the week for this week. It's the drummer Alvin Queen, who moved from New York City to Canada and then to Switzerland decades ago, but has been very active on the European jazz scene. And his album is starting to come out more often here in the U.S., and we'll hear from the new one, a trio date led by drummer Alvin Queen. Well, just a little bit ago, I said we'd hear two Duke Ellington pieces coming up, and that was not quite accurate, as we'll hear a Billy Strayhorn piece and then a Duke Ellington piece up next. We'll hear the Duke Ellington piece from trumpeter Anthony Stanko's new album, Stanko's Time. We're going to start off with pianist Fred Hirsch, did a wonderful album called Fred Hirsch Plays Billy Strayhorn, and from that, it's Rain Check on KPR.